You're listening to a Chicago Sports Nation production, enhancing your Chicago sports fan experience.
Well, come on, baby, don't you wanna go? Well, come on, baby, don't you wanna go? Back to the same old place, sweet home, Chicago.
Hey guys, this is episode 2 of Bears Nation Podcast. My name is Josh Lyles, and I'm here with Jake Hassan and Chris Nano.
What's up, guys? Good to be back. Episode 2. Get back to work. We'll see where it takes us.
Yeah, this is Chris. Looking forward to another podcast. Should be fun.
All right, so let's get straight into it. Cam Meredith, he is gone. Signed with the Saints, 2-year contract. Who is going to replace him? And do you guys approve of what happened? Or are you guys totally against it?
Honestly, it's a little confusing because it wasn't a lot of money. And he did have a good year in 2016. But as we all know, tore his ACL this preseason, was supposed to be the Bears' number one, didn't end up happening. But my thinking is Pace clearly saw something that he wasn't comfortable with, and whatever medicals he saw or however Meredith was progressing. I'm willing to trust Pace's judgment. I think it's as confusing as the move might be. Obviously, we'll see some clarity in the future with the new core of Allen Robinson, Taylor Gabriel. Kevin White does anything that's a bonus at this point. It's just gravy. But wish Meredith all the best. He's a good story, undrafted out of Illinois State. He's an Illinois kid, but wish him all the best. And I'm willing to trust Pace on this one.
You're right. 100% disagree with this move. Pace has been really good this offseason. You know, he's kind of given Bears fans some excitement that we haven't had in a really long time, in my opinion. And I know from what I've seen on Twitter, Bears fans are pretty excited about this upcoming season, whether we make the playoffs or not. But, you know, like Jake said, it wasn't a lot of money. You know, he's a hometown kid. It would have made a lot of sense to bring him back, honestly. And he would have been perfect for this offense. You know, he's been my favorite player on the Bears for about 3 years now. You know, I feel like, you know, he's worked his way all the way up. And, you know, that argument of Pace seeing something that he didn't like, I kind of doesn't sit right with me, because I feel like if there was something wrong, the Saints wouldn't have signed him. You know what I mean? So now I feel like we just opened up a hole that we didn't have before. So that's kind of upsetting. But, yeah, I really hope he does well with the Saints. He deserves it, and he got his payday, so I'm happy for him.
Well, the fact of the matter is Cam Meredith is gone. So who's on our roster right now that can fill that wide receiver 2 role? Because don't forget, we do have Allen Robinson. He is our number one. That's the guy that Mitch Trubisky is going to count on. But who's that wide receiver 2 that we can count on to be there right now on our roster? Not who could we get, but right now, who could be that guy?
I mean, I think it has to be Gabriel. I would love, in an ideal world, I would love to say Kevin White, but obviously we know that until he's actually on the field playing for multiple games, you can't really count on him for much. So I think it's Gabriel. He's not the prototypical number 2 who's going to be on the outside opposite of Robinson. He's probably going to be in the slot a lot, but I still think he has that number 2 playmaking ability. I think in single coverage, Taylor Gabriel can do a lot of damage too. I think he can make guys miss. That initial defender miss, get some yards, extra yards that you wouldn't normally see. So I think it's got to be him right now, and Kevin White 3rd, Josh Bellamy 4th. But and that's okay with me. I think especially the top 2 are really strong with Robinson and Gabriel. It's just a matter of filling in the slots behind them, though.
You know, I feel like White is the guy to fit Cam's play style and his role, if that makes sense. But exactly like Jake said, I mean, what can we expect from Kevin White at this point? It's a make or break year. He's got to show out or, you know, he's gone. So Taylor Gabriel's probably the only answer that makes sense at this point. You know, he's a playmaker, a great playmaker at that. And, you know, he has that speed and that playmaking ability that you can't find. It's rare to find. So, yeah, it's got to be Taylor Gabriel, in my opinion.
So I read somewhere, so you can't count on Kevin White, like you guys said. Like, don't have any expectation on him. But if he gave us 400 to 500 yards, with 4 to 6 touchdowns with 16 games healthy, I would be ecstatic. Like, he got one touchdown, I'm pretty sure I'd be ecstatic. And that's not asking a lot of the guy. So he was projected to be so good. I mean, obviously, he went in the first round. His measurables, his size, and then plus his speed, like, you just you can't beat what he was able to bring to the table. But this is a good transition to Benny Fowler being put on the team. He's 6'1", 212 pounds. Do you think he could fill that role that Cam Meredith left us with?
So yes and no. No in the sense that they're not really the same player. I don't think Fowler, I think, is a little more not a one-trick pony, but Meredith could go down the field and he could go up and get it. I feel like Fowler is more of a between-the-numbers kind of guy. But I could be wrong, and I mean, Nagy, we'll see how he wants to use them. But I think he can fill the void in the sense that kind of getting those numbers back, because it's not trying to replace Meredith from 2016, where he was the number one. It's trying to replace Meredith from 2015, where he was just kind of more of a backup guy, because you have Robinson to fill the role of the number one. So it's more of like Benny Fowler being, I mean, Josh, you said if Kevin White can get to like 400 yards, a few touchdowns, you'd be ecstatic. I think that's should be the bar for Fowler too. I don't think you need to expect that much of him, especially with Trey Burton there too. I think Trey Burton really is the third wide receiver, maybe even the second. So I think Fowler, you don't need to set the bar that high. I think what we're hoping for from Kevin White is what we should expect from Benny Fowler, unless White emerges in the unlikely scenario, unfortunately.
Yeah, I have to agree with that completely. You know, Benny Fowler, I when I saw him with the Broncos, I feel like he was really talented, but didn't really get the opportunity to shine because of Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, and the lack of good QB play. You know, he's a talented player, but I do think he will surprise some people. I think he's going to have some solid numbers. He's going to make some key catches for us like he did in Denver, you know. What else can we expect for him? He's going to be a wide receiver 4 or 5. So heading into the season 4 or 5. So it's not too crazy of a signing, but I think he'll be a very good wide receiver for where he's going to be in the depth chart.
So when Allen Robinson had his monster year, the 1,400 yards, 14 touchdowns, Allen Hurns also had a 1,000-yard season with 10 touchdowns. So we definitely it's a need to have that second guy who is very talented and can fill the role that we felt Cam Meredith was going to do. To be the devil's advocate, and I know, Chris, you hit on this, but we have two guys that we're taking gambles on at wide receiver alone, injury-wise. Like, Allen Robinson just had the ACL injury, and then Kevin White, he's obviously injury-laden. So to be the devil's advocate, I don't agree with not bringing him back. I'm just trying to see where Pace was coming from with this decision. But just having another wide receiver that could potentially get hurt again, I guess I could kind of see that argument. We also have another guy on the roster right now, and we mentioned him last in the episode one, Tanner Gentry. Do you guys feel like he could fill that role at all? We didn't get to see much of him, but he has so much potential, and I feel like he was underused and poorly used as well, his skill set. So go ahead.
Well, I think part of it was the John Fox offense, you know, and how John Fox didn't really know how to run a modern offense. I think with Nagy, I think Gentry could be a good piece. It depends on how he shows in camp and over the summer and then obviously the preseason. Because in the preseason, he was last season's preseason darling that everyone was obsessed with. And so there's no reason he can't do that again. And then if he can translate it to the regular season and give us a couple plays, then yeah, I mean, that would be awesome. That would be great to have.
At this point right now, April 16th, 2018, I would be shocked if Tanner Gentry didn't see, you know, more playing time. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see where he stands after the draft and whatnot. But he has talent. We've seen it. Not much of it, obviously, like Jake said. I mean, John Fox, Dowell Loggins, just having those two is just a recipe for disaster, to be honest. But, you know, it is going to be interesting to see what kind of role he plays. But, you know, best case scenario, I think he could be a wide receiver three, maybe. I mean, I don't know if we should expect him to fill the Cam Meredith role. But, you know, I do like him, and I know a lot of Bears fans like him. So we'll see how it plays out.
All right, so we've looked at our roster. Let's jump to the draft and who potentially, at specifically wide receiver, who could fill that role.
Well, we know that there's two potential first round guys in Calvin Ridley and Cortland Sutton. With the Bears at eight right now, I feel like that's kind of a reach for both of those guys. I think we discussed briefly in episode one last week about the Bears, how it's a possibility that the Bears could trade down. In this scenario, I would think that they'd be trading back into the teens for one of these guys. But as a later pick, because I did forget about this guy until just a couple minutes ago, James Washington from Oklahoma State. He had over 1,500 yards last year with Mason Rudolph thrown to him. And there were some issues, I think, with his ankle. But, I mean, the dude had 74 catches, over 1,500 yards, 13 touchdowns. He's a burner. Dude can fly. Can jump. He's a jumper. The dude can jump out of the building. But I think he did take a little bit of a hit for injury concerns and as well as scheme, because Oklahoma State does run a little bit of a different scheme. But I do like him. I think, and we know Pace is willing to take a risk on players. So I think he could be really cool as maybe a third or fourth round pick. I don't really know where he's slated for right now, but he has all the makings of a playmaker. And I think if you hit on him, then you have Robinson as well as Washington and then Gabriel in the middle. I mean, that'd be unbelievable. But yeah, I think he's someone to keep an eye on the second or third day.
Yeah. You know, my guy right now is Deshaun Hamilton out of Penn State. The best case scenario, in my opinion, is for the Bears to trade down. I feel like it makes the most sense, especially if the guy they don't want or the guy they want isn't there. You know, Deshaun Hamilton was a guy who could go up and get it. He's a touchdown threat. You know, he can fill that Cameron Meredith role in terms of play style. So, you know, I think he'll be. Deshaun Hamilton right now, in my opinion, is going to be a third or fourth round pick. But, you know, we know Bears don't have a third rounder. So, I mean, maybe trade back, acquire a third rounder, then we'd have a pick in each round. Because, you know, those not having a pick in the third round is kind of – I feel like we'll be missing out on a lot of good talent, even though we do have two fourth rounders. But, yeah, Deshaun Hamilton's my guy. I think he'd be perfect in this Bears offense, but we'll see.
I just want to throw a bonus pick in there from the Big Ten still. Simi Cobbs from Indiana.
Oh, yeah.
He's very good, too. And he's, again, probably going to be there on the third or fourth day. I mean, he's just a Big Ten guy, prototypical, like, Big Ten receiver, just a big dude. I mean, I don't want to compare him completely to Washington because two very different conferences, but just one thing I want to highlight with Cobbs is against Ohio State, who we all know the defensive backs and defensive guys they're putting out there, Denzel Ward especially, who's probably going to be a top 10 pick, top 15. Cobbs burned Ohio State for 149 yards on 11 catches against them this past season. And he's another guy that could be there later in the draft and could be a steal even, and then would pair really well with Robinson and the group that the Bears have put together.
Yeah, just to add to that really quick, Simi Cobbs is my guy since the start of the college football season. That is a guy I've been talking crazy about on Twitter. I think he could be one of the best receivers in this class. So yeah, that would definitely make me happy.
I'm just gonna say a name, and whoever's listening can go and look him up. But I was actually talking with somebody on Twitter about different prospects and stuff, and of course I mentioned my guy Marquez Valdes-Scantling. But he brought up the name Jaleel Scott out of New Mexico State. And so I'm just gonna say the name. And if you're interested, go look it up. But his highlight reel literally speaks for itself. The guy, he's super tall. He's fast. And, I mean, he made a one-handed ridiculous catch in the back of the end zone. And it's crazy when you got guys that tall, like Marquez, like the guy I brought up earlier, and this guy who can – burn the way that they do, like the size speed matchup, like they're just physical freaks. And so if you can add catching to that ability, it's done. And so
ESPN has him at 6'6", 215, so that's big body.
Yeah, he's huge.
4.5 combine dash two, so for that size, that's good speed.
And so the point we're making, Jake, Chris, and I, is there's people out there who can replace Cam Meredith. The part that sucked is that everybody got close to him. Like, he was homegrown. He grew up in Chicago. And so it was different. It's kind of like if Jordan Howard left, everybody's gotten connected with him. Like, it's more than just business for the fans. And so when guys who are, like, good character guys like Jordan Howard, who, like, is constantly out in the community doing stuff, and guys like Cam Meredith constantly out of the community doing stuff, get let go, it's more than just a talent thing. Because obviously, just like any job, you're replaceable, which is sad but true. And so they made themselves irreplaceable to Bears fans.
No, you're right. I mean, those guys, I mean, it sucks with Cam Meredith leaving because he was a cool story and everything, but the NFL's a business at the end of the day. And I Pace made a decision that he felt was best for the team. So only time will tell where it goes now.
You know, Cam Meredith's extremely talented, in my opinion, but I feel like the homegrown aspect and what he did for the community is kind of the part that stung us Bears fans more than anything. You know, that's why growing up, my dad always told me, he's like, Chris, it's a business. He's like, you know, you can't really get too close to these players, get attached to them, because at the end of the day, it is a business and everyone's, you know, replaceable. So it sucks, but, you know, we all trust in Pace. So hopefully this is the right decision.
All right. So let's move on. We've gotten our tears out. We've dealt with our emotions. Let's move on to some rumors that have been going around. Actually, not a rumor. Let's go into a Twitter update that we saw today. Center James Daniels, he's from Iowa. He's 6'4", 295 pounds. I'll say my piece a little later, but you guys go ahead. Do you have anything to say on him?
I'll defer this one to Chris because he brought it up. But just real quick, I'll say that I love Big Ten offensive linemen. Obviously, I go to Illinois, so I'm a little biased, but I love Big Ten offensive linemen. I think they just play like the hard, gritty style that you like to see from offensive linemen. But I'll let Chris take the lead on this one.
You know, center out of Iowa, he's late first, early second round range is where I'd have him right now. And, you know, we were talking about it earlier, but could be the possibility that, you know, we draft him and move Whitehair to guard. Could be something to watch out for. But, you know, James Daniels did have knee injuries in the past, so you know, it could be a red flag. But you know, his talent is undeniable. He's fantastic. I feel like he'd be just as good of a fit as Quentin Nelson on the Bears, to be quite honest. I know that's kind of bold, but I think he's that good, and he'd be great for us.
To your point, Cody Whitehair moving to guard, like he could do both positions. And at a high level, like last year, he had his struggles, especially at center. Like he made some embarrassing mistakes. And so moving him to guard and put someone who is a center, who's had all the practice in the world at center, putting him there in his natural position and putting Cody Whitehair back at his natural position, that would definitely put my heart at ease and fill a lot of empty holes. So the only thing that I would, at that point for our line, is tackle that needs to be addressed. So
just for my little thing on Whitehair, you're right, Josh, he does play at a high level at times. Obviously you mentioned his struggles at center before, but with Sitton gone, as of right in this moment, the Bears do have that need at the offensive line, especially with the lingering injuries of Long and Hronus Grasu having his issues too. Eric Kush coming back from injury. So I would be fine with having this guy, but I mean, Whitehair, you're right, Josh, he's more natural at guard, and I think it would be better to get a natural center.
So another kind of thing that's going around Twitter is trade rumors that Chicago Bears are potentially going to move from the 8th pick to the 6th pick with the Indianapolis Colts. Do you guys have any thoughts on that? Is there any kind of meat to that, or is it just let's throw some stuff out there to scare the fans or get the fans excited?
I don't really think there's any. I don't think there's a lot of meat to it because it hasn't really come out of any, let's say, reputable news sources. But it's fun to think about. I mean, I think the only scenario that the Bears move up is if they really, really, really want either Chubb from NC State or Nelson from Notre Dame. Chubb obviously being an edge rusher and Nelson being the offensive lineman that everyone's been talking about and whom we mentioned last week. But I think it's got to be one of those two guys because the Bears obviously don't need a quarterback. And they have two very good running backs, so they don't need Saquon Barkley. So in the scenario, it's one of those two guys, Nelson or Chubb. And personally, I'm okay with it. As we talked about last week, I really like Nelson. I think he's great. I think it'd be really awesome to reunite him with his old offensive line coach, Harry Heistand. I think they could really keep progressing with Nelson and make him even better than he already is. Chubb, same thing. He's very good. He's far and away the best edge rusher in the class. I think he'd pair really well with Leonard Floyd, and we know pass rush is a need for the Bears. Should they do it? Probably not, because it would take a lot with the Colts. We know they could milk that sixth pick either with the Bills. The Bills are at 12 if they want to move up. The Cardinals, if they want to move up. So I would think that the Colts would be looking for something more than the Bears could offer. But at the same time, if they really want one of those guys, then by all means, go for it. We've seen Pace take these risky moves before.
Yeah, for me personally, I don't agree with moving up just because we have so many holes right now. But I would be all for trading down. I feel like that would be perfect. You know, trading down, whether it's, you know, if we can get maybe two first rounders, I don't know how realistic that is, but first rounder and then maybe like a late second and a third or something like that. But yeah, I don't agree with trading up at all. I feel like everybody in this draft is, besides maybe like, you know, the top guys like Chubb, Nelson and Saquon Barkley. I feel like everyone has another player at a position where they could be just as good. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what they do. But to answer the question, I don't think there's too much meat to it. Just Twitter rumors flying right now.
Yeah, so my opinion on it is the Colts have a gold mine where they're at. The sixth overall pick, and then Browns have the fourth. Like, people are going to be scrambling to get a quarterback, especially with I don't know if you guys saw, but Bucky Brooks and Daniel Jeremiah said there's some crazy trade rumors going around that they're not sharing. They're just rustling the fire, if you will. So to me, in my head, that just makes me just confirm to everything in my head that quarterbacks are going to be taken early, and there's a high chance even for the Bears to be able to trade down because Saquon Barkley is slowly coming down too. Like, even if so the 49ers are right after the Bears. And I just got kind of excited because the 49ers need a running back. Like, they have Jerick McKinnon. They just got rid of Carlos Hyde. If Saquon Barkley drops down to 8 and we could somehow convince the 49ers and just switch back the trade with them, basically. So they got Reuben Foster, who was a bust last year, and we got Mitch Trubisky out of the deal. That would make my heart flutter. Just drive it into John Lynch's face, like, hey, give me my picks back, and you still got a crappy Reuben Foster this year. So,
well, just to kind of rain on your parade a little bit, with the third pick that the Niners took, they took Solomon Thomas from Stanford. They took Foster with the 13th or something.
Hey, man, that's my parade. Leave my parade alone. The point being is we'd get our picks back, and we'd only be moving down one spot. And if they're selecting Saquon Barkley, and this is all scenarios that just popped in my head, I got to do more research, and I'm sorry if I'm making a fool of myself by saying this, but it kind of makes sense in my head because they don't have a running back. But the idea, Okay, let's do a little mock in the top 10 really quick. So, who do you guys think the Browns are taking number one overall?
Darnold.
Number two with the New York Giants.
Could be Barkley.
Yeah, see, that one I'm a little – that one could either be Chubb, Barkley, or Rosen in my head.
And there's all kinds of rumors about it being Rosen. So let's just say in my scenario in my head, it's Rosen, it's quarterback. Jets, for sure, going to be a quarterback. They traded up.
Yeah.
Cleveland Browns.
I'd say the Jets probably take Mayfield with that third pick. They want someone who's a little more developed already.
Okay.
Yeah.
Number four, Cleveland Browns.
This could very well be Barkley as well.
It could be Barkley, or I guarantee you, just the way that they've done things lately, they want picks. So I would assume that this is where they would take advantage of getting more picks and trading down some more. So
yeah, I could definitely see that. Yeah.
So whoever that next person is, I'm assuming they are moving up for a quarterback. I don't know why they wouldn't be. And so
I could see the Broncos going from 5 to 4, just to make sure.
So the only other quarterback at that point is
Allen.
Oh, Josh Allen. Oh, then we still have Lamar Jackson if someone's reaching. I've seen people who are super high on Lamar Jackson who are like, oh, he's the best quarterback out of them all.
They should be.
And so even he can move up. And I don't want to say it just because it just sounds way too cocky, but I can almost guarantee that all six of those quarterbacks are going in the top 10. And if that is the case, you have Chubb, Nelson, or Saquon Barkley that could drop to our spot.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, 49ers or Raiders could definitely move up. Because I don't want to go down too far. Because, obviously, you start – that drop-off after 10 is pretty nuts. So, anyways, that's my my imagination. It just happened in my head. So, I apologize. I got a little excited. I do get excited.
Well, I think it's a little unrealistic for six quarterbacks to go. I think it's definitely going to be four in the top 10. I think Rosen, Darnold, Mayfield, and Allen are all in the top 10. I could see Lamar Jackson sneaking in there if Buffalo gets desperate, but I don't know how likely that is. But you're right. I think the Raiders or the 49ers, if they want, in the 49ers case, it would be Barkley. In the Raiders case, I think their offensive line has some issues. I think they would be going for Nelson, but the Bears could go back. And then guys like Denzel Ward, he's a really good corner. We talked about how the Bears still have a need in their secondary. I mean, there's still as long as the Bears stay in the top 12, I'm okay.
I didn't mean six. Let me correct myself. I meant to say five because I don't even know who that sixth person would be.
Probably.
Yeah.
What were you saying?
Yeah. Mason Rudolph.
Gotcha. But even if we did miss out on Chubb and Nelson, which if they're there at 8, I gotta guarantee you we're gonna take. Obviously, we're gonna take one of them. But we mentioned them last week. Just Roquan Smith, if he's there, Tremaine Edmonds. Like, there's definitely quality guys that we could go down a little bit and go get them. You know.
I just had a quick question, real quick. If Chubb and Nelson are both there at 8, who do you guys take?
Chubb.
Nelson.
All right, this is good. You give me your argument, I'll give you mine.
I just really like Nelson. Everything that I've watched from him, and that's not to take anything away from Chubb. I think he's great. I think he's going to be a very good player. I just – something about Nelson, just the fit and having his old college coach on staff – the need to – because my thing is if – because Fangio can make stars out of role players is my thing. He's done it before. He knows how to work with what he's got. Floyd's a star if he stays healthy, and I think his injuries before have been kind of fluky, kind of weird. It hasn't been anything like chronic that we should worry about. So I think Floyd can be a star this year. I think Lynch can be above average. I don't think he's going to be the star that maybe everyone thought he could be when he was in San Francisco. I think he could be a very good complimentary piece. I think Akeem Hicks continues to do what he does. Eddie Goldman continues to improve. So for me, Nelson is just – Trubisky is the top priority. And I think by getting Nelson, you help promote that and keep that priority – safe, really. Literally safe. It's close, but I have to go with Nelson just because the talent drop-off from the top offensive linemen to the rest of the pack and from edge rushers to the rest of the pack, it's steeper with the offensive line.
You know what? I'm a believer because as you were talking, my brain just started thinking about Aaron Lynch again and just how excited I am about him. And then episode one, last week when we talked about all the different edge rushers that we have available to us and later rounds that aren't necessarily proven stars yet. But, I mean, we have Vic Fangio, who is a defense whisperer who's proven himself.
I'd like to make one more point on Chubb. I think there's a guy, and Chris, you probably already know who I'm talking about. There's a guy who's probably going to be available in the second round, maybe even the third if he drops.
LSU. Yeah,
Arden Key. Yeah. He was considered a top five pick after his 2016 season. And then some weird stuff happened. He took a leave from the team that he hasn't said why. Apparently he's been telling teams when they meet with him, though. And he was once considered a top five, top 10 pick and is now probably going to be available in the second or third round. So I think if the Bears could, I mean, they're high enough in the second round. I think they take Nelson and then bank on Arden Key still being there in the second round.
Just to add to that really quick, like Jake said, he was arguably a top five pick. People had him at number one coming before this college football year. He's phenomenal. There's been some questions about his attitude and stuff of that nature. You know, I've seen some LSU fans on Twitter call him lazy. Jake said, we don't really know what happened, but you know, I've seen that sometimes he doesn't work that hard. And you know, if you get him in that right mindset, he could very well be the best player in this draft. Like, by far, in my opinion, that's how good he is.
So when,
and I think Fangio's the guy to do that too.
Yeah, yeah, that's also another thing.
So that was the point I'm gonna make a bounce off of is Vic Fangio brings out the best in his defensive players, and when players are given the title lazy in college, I don't really take that too far in my. Scouting, I guess you could say. I'm not a scouter, but you know what I mean. Just because it is college, and I know you're working for an NFL job, but at the same time, you really don't want to get hurt. Do you guys have any thoughts on that? Like, what do you think about that?
You know, personally, I don't like when players are lazy. I know I understand all the, you know, protecting yourself for the NFL, but I want a guy who's gonna give it his all every single game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Every single practice, every single game. I like to see guys working hard and, you know, just little things like them posting an Instagram picture of them saying, you know, like work hard, play hard, for example. I know corny caption, but, you know, just stuff like that. Like, I feel like it goes a long way, especially with the fans, if you guys get what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you're right. And obviously you don't want guys who are going to quit on the team. My thing with Key is, though, it was some, like, I kind of read on it. It was just like something weird. Like, he just took a leave and then came back and put on a ton of weight. So my thing is, unless you really know, like, it's something that it's really like a drive thing or something like his personality, then I would say stay away from it. But I mean, if he convinces you and you can believe, truly 100% believe that it's just something funky that he's corrected, then I would say go for it. But obviously I'm not working there, so what do I know?
Yeah, that's the hard part about all this, like giving our opinions and stuff like that. Like, we're not there every single day, like working with these players and talking with them. And so when they make decisions, who knows? Cam Meredith may have been a jerk, like, in real life. Like, we have no idea, but, like, so that's also what makes all this hard, like, having all these opinions and why I admit, like, on my Twitter page, like, I'm not an expert. Like, I won't claim to be an expert until, like, I'm getting paid to do what I do, you know? Like, until I've put in the time and I talk to the players personally and I meet these guys and I see them on the training field, like, it's hard to truly give an accurate scout on a player based off just their highlight reel, pretty much, you know?
Yep.
So let's move on. So the last segment of today's episode, we are going into veteran mini camp starting tomorrow. So it's the 17th through the 19th. And some things we're going to be looking for is injured players coming back. So whether or not they're going to be able to participate. So if they're not participating, that's kind of not necessarily a red flag, but just like, ah, geez, I wish they were there so we could see them playing. So you guys want to go ahead and go through the guys we want to see healthy starting tomorrow?
First and foremost is Kyle Long. He had surgery and some other stuff going on after the season, during the season. And so he's, and with Sitton gone, Kyle Long is the most important part of this offensive line now, as far as leadership and talent. So hopefully he's out there. I don't remember if I saw anything, if he said anything about it, but hopefully he's there. If he is, it's a great sign. Even if he does a little bit of work or a lot of work, but it's good. It'll be good to see him out there. Staying with the offensive line, Eric Cush, who didn't play last season, but who had been given a 2-year contract prior to the 2017 season. If he's fully healthy, that's awesome. That's a great depth piece who he might even start. So, yeah, offensive line is definitely something to keep an eye on for me.
The one guy I'm looking forward to seeing is Kevin White. You know, he's put on a lot of weight, a lot of muscle. So, you know, he looks like a completely different guy. So that's a guy to watch out for. Just like we were talking about earlier, man, just want to see him improve. And my thing is, I kind of want to see him improve just for his sake. I've seen a lot of people just going off on him on all social media. He actually, I don't know if you guys know this, but he actually disabled his Instagram comments like a while ago because people were just putting some nasty things in there. And you know, it sucks because people act like he's going out there trying to get hurt. You know what I mean? Like he doesn't want this. You know what I mean? So like it just sucks. But, you know, I feel like as Bears fans, we should all just get behind him. I just hope he does well this year, man. We're all rooting for him. Just please stay healthy.
The guy that we're all kind of just watching to see if he is healthy. And not that we doubt Pace. Like, he wouldn't have signed him if he wasn't healthy. But Allen Robinson, is he going to be there? And he guaranteed. I think he was in an interview with Jeff Joniak and Tom Thayer. He guaranteed he was going to be there for training camp. So I don't know if that means tomorrow, like veteran right. mini camp, or if that means training camp after the draft. So we'll see. Just seeing healthy guys is encouraging because we go through – this is like the third season of we just see tons and tons of guys on injured reserve over and over and over again. It's just disheartening. Like, fix the issue. Like, what is it? Another guy that I kind of want to bring up just to bring him back into light, like a player highlight almost, is Jordan Morgan. He was a fifth round draft pick.
Yes.
It's kind of like an Adam Shaheen story where he came from like a little school, but he dominated at that school. And so he's 6'4", 311 pounds. Do you guys have anything else to say on him?
Yeah, if he's there and he's healthy and he does some positive things, I'm all for it. We talked about earlier, offensive line's a need. So if he can be useful, if he can prove himself, show some value, that'd be awesome. That'd be great.
Yeah, you know, he was drafted in the fifth round, so I know a lot of us weren't expecting too much. But as long as he can be, you know, a depth player, see him getting better, staying healthy is the most important thing. You know, I'm more than happy with it.
What's crazy about the offensive line is you can have guys who are drafted seventh round, sixth round. I mean, you got Charles Leno Jr., who I think he was a sixth round draft pick.
Sixth or seventh, yeah.
He's definitely a late round, and we just paid him big bucks. Like, those late round guys can come back around for you. There's a bunch of guys around the league who were late round draft picks who have blossomed into dominant offensive linemen. So that's definitely something to look forward to. Anything else on the veteran minicamp? Can we think of
one thing? I guess if we could see any hints of what Nagy might want to be doing with the offense, or just the system in general, just how he coaches, it'll be kind of cool to see the first hints of that.
Do you guys know what happens at minicamp? I can't remember. Like, what do they go over the playbook, or are they just working out, or?
Yeah, just like basic stuff. They go a little bit of the playbook, but they're not going into full like 100% green light.
Yeah, it's mainly working out, getting back in shape. That's like the most important thing.
I think they do run drills, but
no, they do. Yeah, they definitely do. But like you said, it's more of like vanilla type of stuff. Mm.
Gotcha. All right. Well, I think we've hit all of our topics. You guys have anything else before we close it out?
No. Good, strong show. It was good to do it back to back weeks, and it'll be fun to keep this going next week.
Yeah. I'm enjoying this a lot. We're having a lot of fun. Hopefully you Bears fans are enjoying this as well, and I look forward to talking to you guys more.
All right, so that was episode 2 of Bears Nation. Thanks so much for listening, and we're going to have many more to come. Bear down, go Bears, whatever you want to say. Let's get it done. Well, come on.